Welcome to the podcast of St. Andrew's Community United Methodist Church, a loving, caring, overcoming community of faith where our mission is making disciples of Jesus Christ. Friends, and welcome again to our podcast here with St. Andrew's Community United Methodist Church. I'm D.A. Bennett, and I'm in studio with
Stephanie Greenwald, our associate pastor.
And, of course, once again, we have our Director of Student Ministries, Michael Godwin, here to talk to us. We're continuing down this discipleship pathway, and last week we began by looking at the students that Michael leads here at our church and how it was junior high students breaking away from mom and dad, forming a little more of a solo identity in terms of knowing who they are individually. And now we're just going to move on down and we're going to talk about high school students. And I know for certain that high school has changed a lot since I was in there. Michael, last week I think you said it's been about 10 years since you graduated from high school. And I found myself thinking, one of the big changes in the last 10 years in high school students is just the introduction and the overuse of smartphones and how people have so much information. So why don't we do what we did last week? Just talk to us a little bit about the world of a senior high student today.
Yeah. You know, senior high is it's definitely a different world from junior high. So they've actually started, their growth spurts have started to slow down. They're still growing, but not quite to the same level.
Right.
They've been formed socially. They've kind of know who they might be identity-wise socially. Their school is just such a big presence in their life. Their home life, their school, their social media for sure, you know, how they're using it is just it's almost being in constant contact with those friends.
Right.
They are in constant contact. If it's Snapchat, texting, phone calls, FaceTime, Skyping, whatever that next step is, they might be communicating in four different ways, all with the same people.
Right.
And all at the same time, about three different conversations. And it's just crazy to me how they do that. But, you know, they can have four different conversations going at once with the same people. You know, there's all kinds of things that are kind of shaping who they are and how their focus is. You know, home life is a big one. A lot of times coaches, teachers, things that they're spending a lot of time with. So their team can really be affecting that and just kind of shifting back and forth. It's just one of those type of things that their worldview is really shaped socially by now. And they're just reinforcing over and over again who they are, and challenging themselves with each moment.
Right. And again, like last week, I said I have a junior high student. I also am the parent of a student that is just starting high school. And one of the things as a parent that I do get concerned about, and in some ways more concerned about it with a high school student than a junior high student, because a junior high student still a little more dependent on mom and dad, but ultimately in high school, they get that driver's license, they get that car, they're, you know, becoming more and more independent. And so the concern I would have is who are the voices that are speaking into my child's life?
Right.
And you've talked about coaches and the whole social media thing. Are there some specific voices as a parent that I need to know that my child is listening to?
Right.
And how can I respond to that if my kid says, well, you know, Mousy Stung said this back in the day.
Right. I know that for me especially, I know coaches were a big part of my life playing sports growing up. And it really is, I'm looking at time-wise, when I talk to high school students, how much time are they spending with each group? If they're a very big sports player, they're spending a lot of time with their coaches, with their teammates, and that's really who is shaping a little bit of them. So just being involved with them.
A band director.
Oh, yes. Those band and choir directors that are heavily involved in those kids' life. Or, you know, if you have a voice coach or a dance, you know, just all these people are going on and being just heavy influences in people's lives.
Yeah.
And so social media and, you know, we can look at role models and celebrities and people like that who can be influences.
Right.
But those people that spend a lot of time with them, and it can be youth directors, it can be pastors, it can be adult sponsors that go to youth events and things like that, but a lot of times it's who they're spending their daily lives with that are really helping them.
Well, and it's interesting too how much of a impact these people have in helping to develop for these senior high students their worldview, because they're so formidable at this time. So as we as parents or people who work with senior high youth, if we want to help them take their faith to a new level, how can we incorporate what we know about all these different influences? How can we use that then to help them take their faith to the next level?
I like what DA said earlier about, you know, as a high school student being a little more independent, being a little more free. A lot of times high school students have that, and they kind of, we kind of lose who they are just a little bit as parents, as mentors. We kind of have to refigure out who they are as we get to know them. And so we're asking a lot of questions. We're just being directly as involved as we can in everything they're doing. So if they're at school for 3 hours, we're asking them what those 3 hours were like. You know, I know they're not for school for 3 hours, but you know what I mean?
Right.
You know, they go to band practice, they go to soccer, they go to football, whatever it is. We're asking them, what did they do? How did they do it? And so if we want to take it to the next level for faith-wise, we're now starting to change their perspective on these events to start looking at their faith while they're doing them. So if you're going to football practice, well, where did you show God's love to someone on that football field today? How did you show your endurance for faith while you ran, while you were doing these things? Did you help someone in band that needed help? Were you able to stop a bully who was picking on someone? Just how were you able to show your faith? And just so just asking those questions. You know what they're doing. You kind of know what their influences are and who's around them talking. You know, how did the coach show you a little bit about God today? Like, is there something in there that relates to God in this in this time? You know, you can have those conversations just continually, not peppering with questions, but just really heavily being involved is the key. And we talked about that last week, just being involved and being influenced in your lives. So I think that's a big thing here.
Yeah, part of what you talked about last week, and again, I think this is a recurring theme, whatever age we are in life and wherever we are in the discipleship pathway, has to do with habits. Now, again, the junior high students, you're going to encourage them to do that. But I would think by the time a student gets, I'm going to say, at least to their junior year of high school, maybe they now have some habits that they have developed that really do help or that hinder their relationship with Christ. Speak to that if you can. Not really a question, but speak to that.
I mean, people have habits whenever, I mean, really young, we form those habits. We can talk about their schedules and how they sleep. High school students are the same. They have those habits that just, with faith, that they just know how to do. They know how to show up on Wednesdays. They know how to show up on Sundays, and they know how to be around their friends for small groups. They know how to do that, but they're not. They can kind of ease off of the impact that they have. Just we can use those things, those habits, those good habits, and just reinforce some steps. And we do know that by that point, there are probably some bad habits that they formed. I know for me, I'm a nail biter, so that's my go-to. Like, you know what I mean?
Watching
like,
the Cowboys.
Watching those Dallas Cowboy games, you can get a little rough. But, you know, just a nail biter. And so, like, we just have those moments where we see a bad habit, and how can we turn that to good? And I know for when I started working on that habit, and it was in high school when I started working on not biting my nails, not messing with it. I know it's really like cliche biting your nails, but it's true. I would actually write, because I like to memorize scripture, I would actually write what scripture I was doing on my hand. Just taking that independence and just kind of writing on my hand of working on it.
Right.
And I noticed it because people had pointed out, like, why do you mess with your fingernails so much? And so it just kind of happened to work like that. So I think, as parents and as mentors and as people just around youth, that when we work on those habits, good and bad, we're just trying to reinforce, again, just reinforce those habits that make, that bring their faith to the forefront, that bring God to the forefront.
Yeah.
And so if it changing just a little bitty thing in their life can make a big difference there.
Right. Well, and it's almost just helping, I think, at that age to help them remember that faith is not a compartment of our lives. It is, it should be in every part of who we are, because that's really where they start becoming adults and realizing that life can either be compartmentalized or not. And so I think as parents, maybe it's just an encouragement to us to say, keep bringing that to the forefront and allowing them to see how it goes into every part of who we are. So since you are well-versed in working with teens, what do you think there are the mistakes that we sometimes make when we're discipling teens?
You know,
I'm meddling.
You know, the mistakes, man, there's a few that we do make pretty persistently, and it's everyone makes these mistakes. With youth, especially with students, especially high school students who are questioning, and they're making some big questions, and they're asking really good questions, really deep questions that sometimes there's not a great answer for out there. God is mysterious, and so sometimes we run into that, and we just have to work with them a little bit to kind of deepen their faith and let them understand that those questions are valid and they're true. Like, those are true questions we all have, and sometimes we make the mistake of just shutting that down. Don't question God. No, don't question that faith. No, don't question that. Right. And we just shut it down too quickly, and so we don't actually engage them in their faith questions and in these moments where they have doubts or in these moments where they're really seeking answers. We just kind of shut them down, and we don't help them grow a little more. I think that's one we easily make sometimes.
Do you think that at times, too, we often say, oh, they're just a teenager, they'll get it figured out later, or like we just write them off? When I know when I was visiting with Susan a couple of weeks ago in one of our earlier episodes, she kept reinforcing that kids are never too young to experience God's love.
Yeah.
And I think, too, we have to remember that for our teenagers, is that we can't write them off just because they're teenagers. They're valid, they're worthy, they're valuable, and they can have a deep relationship with God.
Oh, yes. I mean, a lot of what I just talked about, you know, those questions and those doubts, we have as adults, and we treat them differently as adults. We don't treat them like, oh, no, you'll be good, you'll figure it out, God, just have faith in God and wait. We don't treat them that way. We actually engage a lot of times with adults, and we allow questions, and we allow that back and forth, and we have a deep conversation, and a lot of times teens are ready for that.
Right.
They're ready for those conversations to be treated like adults. And those are moments where we can really do it. You know, we can guard their hearts in some ways, but when it comes to faith and those deep questions, you know, just being involved and being willing to say sometimes, I really don't know the answer. Let's go look together and be able to walk with them is a really cool moment for them, just to have someone on their side who sees them as important, sees them as the adult as well, and just wants to help them.
And part of what you said just really resonates within me, because I think sometimes adults feel like, oh, if I'm going to help with the youth at church, if I'm going to teach Sunday school, or if I'm going to go to church camp with them or anything like that, a lot of times adults fall into the, I just need to be a kid. I just need to be like them.
Right.
And I have noticed sometimes that the students will sit around and they're like, I don't take that person seriously because they're trying to be like me. And I think it's helpful to hear that students are saying, I don't need you to be like me. I need you to understand me.
Right.
I need you to accept me. I need you to love me. But I need you to be who you are, because, again, I'm watching you to help guide me on this journey of what it means to follow Christ. So that, I think that's a very critical observation. One of the other things, and I don't know exactly how to approach this question, because I don't say, you know, well, back when I was in high school, because I'm sitting here looking, and you have your 10-year reunion for high school this year, and Stephanie probably has her 20th, and I got you both beat combined, because I have my 40th, and so it's been a long time since I've been in high school, but being in ministry with the students over the years, I think one of the things some of the more passionate, serious about growing in my faith and growing in my relationship with Christ students as I've come apart is at some point they're going to do something that they would consider to be a failure.
Right.
And when we, whoever we are, when we do something where we consider ourselves a failure, we carry around a massive load, a tremendous burden of guilt.
Right.
So let's just say a student comes to you and they say, hey, you know, I really messed up. Please don't tell mom and dad. And of course, you're not going to tell mom and dad because they're speaking to you in confidence. So long as they're not saying, you know, I'm going to kill myself or hurt somebody else.
Right.
What what in their development, what in their discipleship needs to be emphasized at that point to help them understand who God is and how they relate to God?
Yeah, this is one of our most common lessons that we teach youth. It really is that God's grace is there no matter what point in their life, what stage in their life, no matter what's going on. God's grace is there when they fail, when they do good. God's love, God's grace is there. And so it's just one of those big points, because there are those moments where we just feel like the weight of the world's on our shoulders, where we know that we've done wrong. We know we've been messing up. We know that something's happened that shouldn't have, and we just feel bad about it, or we just feel like it's not something that we should have done. God's grace in that moment is still there and is still readily available, and it's one of those just amazing things in our lives. And we talk about it all the time with youth from, you know, seventh grade on up, and it hits different. You know, at different points in time, that message just resonates, because sometimes we just really need to hear. Sometimes it's okay to fail. Like we are still human, and God is still loving us.
Amen.
We all need to hear that message. So another thing that I really feel like plagues people of this age, and I do not think it is in this time, in this place. I think it has spanned generations from way back, but I think that the struggle that comes at this age is really an identity struggle. And people are trying to figure out who they are. And when we wrap faith into that, we're trying to figure out who we are in God and what that looks like and who He's made us to be. Because really at this time in our life, we feel like the whole world is out ahead of us. We have endless possibilities, at least we hope we feel that way. And yet we're watching how everybody else is doing things, and we're trying to figure out how do we fit into that. And so I think that comes with that is an identity struggle for people of this age. So what would you say to parents or others working with youth of this age? What do we do to help them develop a solid identity and help them to explore that in a safe place?
That's a really good one. For me, and just trying to help youth understand that who they are today is going to be different in 2 years, is going to be different in 3 years, is going to be different in 10 years.
And
my favorite thing to do with youth, especially when they get to like that junior, senior year, is kind of think back when you were a seventh grader. Isn't that so long ago? Weren't those so weird to think that was so important?
Mm-hmm.
And you as seventh graders, think back when you were a third grader. Mm-hmm. That's such a long time ago.
Right.
And just to be able to show them that difference that they are, that they are the same person, they are the same self, but they have grown so much. Mm-hmm. They have changed so much. Their habits have shifted. They are focused more on this.
Yeah.
Just to be able to show them that. I think there was just some really cool stuff that parents do sometimes to give them that perspective, is show pictures at different ages, show them who their friends were at different ages, show them what their favorite movie was that year, things like that just gives a different perspective. And so I think just really encouraging students and their children and youth that it's okay to be who you are right now and have goals for the future. And understand that when you want to be something, you continue to work at it, and you're going to change over time.
Right, right. Well, and part of what I love, too, about what we offer our youth for impact and for small groups and Sunday mornings is that I feel like they continually get the same message, and that is that in Christ, you are saved.
Oh,
you
yes.
are loved. Amen. You are filled with grace. You are covered in mercy. And to hear that over and over again at this age, I feel like is so important. And it's like what you were saying with parents. Don't be afraid to keep asking your kids how things are going. Also, don't be afraid to remind them of the truth of who they
That's
are
right.
in Christ. And that, I think, will help them to form a solid identity.
And I would add to that, as a parent, don't be afraid to tell your son or your daughter, I don't really know that either.
Right.
You know,
right.
You're looking to me for an answer, but you've reached a place where I, too, am on this spiritual journey and trying to figure things out.
That's right.
So I think that's very important. Michael, we're getting close on the time we tried a lot. Is there a final word of encouragement you want to offer or anything you want to say?
Absolutely. What you just said was one of the big points that I like to show parents is sometimes it's okay to just say, I don't know.
Right.
I don't understand. but it's okay and it's going good. Like, you are okay to just keep loving and keep caring and keep showing them God in whatever way you can. Mm-hmm. Keep shifting their perspective. Like, you are doing such a great job.
Yeah.
It's okay to say, I don't know. It's okay to go look for help. It's okay to say, let's go ask the pastor.
Right.
Because sometimes even the pastor is going to throw their hands up and say, I don't know yet, but we'll keep looking.
I have a witness.
And so it's one of those times in their lives where they're going to have really good questions. It's going to be one of those times where they're going to have doubts. It's going to be one of those times where they're really looking for answers, and that's okay too.
All right, Michael, thank you so much. Here at St. Andrew's Community United Methodist Church, we do seek to be a loving, caring, overcoming community of faith that is centered in that relationship with Christ. We are a church that does not believe that we have all the answers that people are asking, but we find as we journey together, we may not journey fast, but we certainly journey far. And if you're listening and this is helpful to you, or if you have some constructive critique of how we can get better, maybe you even have a comment, hey, I really wish you would do a podcast or a few podcasts on this. We always welcome your comments and your help because we want to do things that really do help you in your relationship with Christ. Again, this is D.A. Bennett and Stephanie Greenwald and Michael Godwin, St. Andrew's Community Church. God bless you. We'll look for you next week.